The best way to predict the future is to invent it. This is Dr. Harel Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Now, many of you have had the privilege of reading Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions. Well, Illusions is quite a charming book, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. And in there, Donald goes into the theater with Richard Bach, and Richard Bach didn't want to see the film because he'd seen it many times before. And so Donald says in the middle of the film, "Okay, let's leave." "No, no, no, we're right in the middle of the film." "Well, hey, you've seen it several times before. You didn't want to see it now. And you want to stay?" "Yeah, yeah, I like to see how, you know." "Well, you know how it comes out." "What do you mean, see how it, you know?" "You know how it comes out. You've been there, done that. You know the whole thing." But, and so Donald drug him out. And he says, "You know, Richard, you have the ability to change the past, change the future, change the present, because it's all one beautiful script, one beautiful film strip. And you can clip it and put the middle and the end in the middle, and the beginning at the end, and you can rearrange it any way you want. You can even take little scenes out of here and there and put them anywhere you want, because you're the creator of your life. You're the creator of your experiences. You're the creator of everything that goes on." And then, though he didn't perhaps use these exact words, he was saying to Donald, he was saying to Richard, that is, Donald is the reluctant Messiah. Donald was saying, "Richard, you can rewrite your past. You can write a whole new past for you. You can rewrite your future. You can rewrite the present, because you're the author, and you can say anything that you like, and you can do anything that you like that pleases you." Now, Button was just barking at the cat, and the cat stands there outside the door saying, "I like being barked at. I enjoy being the master out here of that poor puppy dog who is got to stay in the house." Well, Ellen has written that script where the dog loves to bark at the cat. Ellen feels that the dog barking at the cat is the most wonderful thing in the world. Now, the day may come when Ellen wants to rewrite the script. And she may want to rewrite the script saying the dog loves cats and loves every cat. And every cat loves Button, you know. When the day comes that she wants to rewrite that script and have that be the way the program goes, that's so it'll go. Now, we can rewrite our past. We can reinvent. As we said here, the best way to predict the future is to invent it. And that's what we do. We invent it. Every one of us has an idea of what we're going to do tomorrow. We have an idea of, let's just say that Sylvia is going to go and visit her mother and father and her sisters and brothers and so forth. Well, her mother and father have passed on. One of her brothers is gone. And so who's she going to visit? I mean, who's she got left? There's only about four or five of them, you know. But who's she going to visit? Now, in her mind, she visualizes herself visiting with her family, and she visualizes the conversation, she visualizes all the things that are going on, and quite likely it is not at all like it's going to be. That when she gets there, she's going to look at things and say, "Oh, things are different. They bought a new house. They bought new furniture. They got divorces, and they married new people. And now they're all, you know, in a different arrangement than they were before. And they've had five or six kids in the meanwhile, you know. And these are things that I hadn't planned on. They didn't tell me this, you know. They just let me sit in the dark about their marital arrangements and things like that." Well, if Sylvia is the master. She will create the future, her visit to her family, in exactly the way she wants. Now, how does she want it? She has no idea. You have no idea what you want from the future. You think, say, sera, sera, whatever will be. And how silly. Whatever will be is what we in our mental attitude have accepted. We can invent the future. As Donald Simoto was saying to Richard Bach, he said, you can take the film strip and throw it away. You can take the last half of your life and throw it away and just keep living in the first half. Or you can take the whole life story and throw it away. You have amnesia. You don't remember the past. You don't remember the future that you thought for yourself. You don't even remember the present. You're living as a brand new being who had never been here before. You have the body of an adult, and you have the appearance of certain people, and you say, well, that must be my family. Well, yes, the family of man. You're not any particular family, but now, if you were having an amnesia, what would you say was your past? Well, I'm a woman or a man. I'm so old. I seem to be educated. I seem to have good language ability. I seem to be able to speak Italian, French, Russian, German, English. I mean, I'm multilingual. How lovely, gee, I wonder what I was, what experiences I went through. But no. If you're wise, you just go on from there. Because everything that you and I have built up in our life that has brought us to where we are today, we don't dwell on them. If we dwell on it, we're living in it, and we're living in the past. We're not living in the present. We're not living in this moment. Because the fact that you can read German and Italian, you don't say, oh yes, I went to school, and I did this, and I lived that, and you just can read it, And the fact that you can play an instrument, you can just do it. The fact you can drive a car, you don't say, well, there was a time when I couldn't drive a car, You don't wander back into those memories. Well, now, with that same wonderful flamboyance, you can invent the future. Now, what is the future for you? Is the future for you living in the attitude of abundance, living in the attitude of perfect health, living in the attitude of harmonious relationships with everyone who is in your world? Is your desire for the future, are you inventing the future where you are doing all the things you wanted to do and happy doing them, that you have a healthy body that can do anything that you want to do? If you want to take up skiing at 110, you can do it because you have a healthy body, you understand? And an alert mind, because when you're skiing, you got to have an alert mind, too. Now, hey, why not take up learning how to fly when you're 120? No reason why not. You have a perfect body, perfect mind. You have perfect coordination. You have all the things that anybody else would have. So you can do it, too. But you see, when you're 120... you don't say, I'm 120. Because the minute you say you're 120, people will look at you and will say, oh, you're 120. You cannot do these things. You are decrepit. You are over the hill. How you can walk around is amazing, because your flesh shouldn't stick on your bones anymore. It should be disintegrating. And people have these pre-drawn conclusions about what it is when you're 3 years old. Now, do you know what's going on in my world? I have a 10-week-old. And this 10-week-old is fantastic. 10 weeks! And it swims in the swimming pool. 10 weeks old. It swims. 10 weeks old. It pulls me around. 10 weeks old. It's walking like a trooper. It falls over backwards and does other wonderful, silly things, but it's 10 weeks old, and it's untouchable. 10 weeks old, and it's on solid food. 10 weeks old. What is this 10 weeks old? Some animal? No, it's a being. You might call it an animal. You might say it's my dog. But the thing is, at 10 weeks, now, I say 10 weeks, and you say, a baby does that at 10 weeks? That's right. A baby dog, you know? Their growth periods here. Now, here's one for you. This is 3 hours old and doing all of these things. In fact, even having children. Who's that? A fruit fly. A fruit fly has a very short life, and they must do everything in a very short time. So in a matter of hours, the fruit fly matures, the fruit fly does whatever it does and carries out its life. Amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You see, it's all relative. And the more relative it is, the more silly it is. Now, how do you see it? How do you see you? Do you see you at the age of 2,000? Oh, come on, Herb. Who's ever been the age of 2,000? Nobody you know. You don't have the capacity to visualize a person at the age of 2,000 because you think that they are really over the hill, you know? You think that there's no way a person can be 2,000 years old. And so people who are 2,000 years old just do not let us know that they're 2,000. Because of what? Tell me quickly.
Because of the judgment.
No, because they're perfect. Because they're perfect. And they don't visualize themselves as 2,000. Mm-hmm. They visualize themselves as maybe 35, you know. What? 2,000, and they visualize them. That's right. They have the body of a mature young person, you know. Not a mature middle-aged or older person, but a mature young person. And they can do anything, you know. 2,000 years old, they can go skiing. But you can't... The moment you know they're 2,000 years old, they'll fall down on the slope. But as long as you think they're just a young 35-year-old dynamic person zipping along on their skis, what's so strange about that? That's right. What's so strange about that? And here they are, executives, top echelon people, mental wizards, geniuses, creating beautiful things, software programs that first will run beautifully and then pretty soon they don't. There's a new software program that's birthing, and it came a long time ago. Some stupid kid, a college kid, developed it, Linux. And this stupid college kid was so stupid he let everybody have it free. Now, it didn't come into its own right away, because many other programs, you thought you had to buy it. You thought you had to do it. Well, the vice president of Microsoft was vacationing over in Germany, and he heard that the German government was going to change entirely from Microsoft to Linux. And so he jumped into his business clothes and dashed over to Munich to see the people in charge, and they had already made the decision. They have discarded the entire Microsoft programs from all the German communication systems, from all the computers, and they have put in Linux. Number one, Linux is free. Number two, Linux is open system. It is not proprietary. Anyone can use it and anyone can move into it. And number four, Linux does everything that Microsoft could do and more. Now listen. And more. What does it do that's and more? What does it do that's and more? It does not have a lot of stuff in it that you don't need. You see? The Microsoft programs are beautiful. They're fabulous. They're grand. But they also have tons of things that they don't even know about, and tons of things that the professionals know about, but the ordinary people using it don't know about it because they don't need it. Maybe they would need it if they knew about it, but they're what would you say, complete enough without it. You see? But the Linux can do those things too, but it doesn't have them incorporated into it to make it confusing, to make it so busy that it crashes, to make it so busy that it is going to be unhandleable by the average person. Now, the average person is not necessarily the beginner. The average person is a person who is aware of word processing. And now, part two on the same story. Apple. Apple has been trying to be proprietary all along, like IBM and Microsoft and all the rest of them. And Apple started out all the schools in word processing, all the businesses in word processing, and it was what was used by everybody, including my brother-in-law, Kip, in his business. And I had never had too great an interest in Apple because their literature didn't reach me, I guess. And so now Apple is making such inroads into the computer business. It is still a little different, it's just slightly different, and so you have to sort of have a new way of looking at it. Newcomers can take it easily and quickly. But what is the thing that Apple has done? Apple has given you an exquisite instrument. Apple has given you an exquisite monitor. Apple has given you an exquisite programming. Apple has given you another little thing which is quite exceptional. It's a two-way thing. It has given you an uncrashable computer. While a program can crash because it has some flaws in it, it does not disturb the rest of the computer. It stays within that program. And all you do is just readdress that program and bring it up again, and it's back in business. Now, there's an article in the current Fortune magazine about Apple's director and Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is the he started Apple and then he left and then he came back. Well, now Steve Jobs has found little ways to reach out and expand the ability. He's creating his future. He's inventing his future. And he is inventing it so beautifully that all of the people who wanted to be with the big operating wheels and couldn't, he's doing it. He is associating with Hewlett-Packard, and Hewlett-Packard is taking on his iPod and making it as a very great sales representative tool. He is working with Times Warner, and he is working with Disney, and he is working with the Music Land to get that program all set up. You see, he's inventing his future by his relationships today. And the wonderful thing about Steve Jobs, he is not going out in competition to anybody else. Everything he is doing is fresh from his own ideas, you know, from his own mind. And do you know, when you don't fight your competition, you have all that energy to put to work on being creative of your own ideas. And this is what Steve Jobs is doing. This is what our friend Bill Gates was doing. He was just being himself and having fun, and the company just grew beyond his ability to get excited about it, and so he just stayed with his programming. But in the process, what is Bill Gates doing now? Bill Gates is saying, let's create a watch. And on the watch, you can, Dick Tracy watch, you know, on the watch you can have your radio, you can have your television, you can have your the telephone, you know, your cellular phone, and all these things. And why? Because Intel is creating chips so tiny that it fits like nothing in a grain of sand, you know. And also, there is the creators of the hard disk, the creator of a disk that whirls. They now have it a little over an inch square, and it has 2 gigabytes on it. Gigabytes on it. My goodness. But that, too, is being contested by a new field of flash memory where they can have it even a tinier area with no moving parts. No moving parts, which is a fabulous thing. And they could have an entire 40 gigabyte, but that's not what they're talking about. That's not what they're talking about. What are they talking about? They're talking about trigabytes now. Trigabytes of information. And that is unbelievable. Just 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 10 years ago, to talk from kilobytes to megabytes to gigabytes to trigabytes. My goodness sakes, what a wonderful world we are living in. How unlimited it is. Are we inventing the future?
Yeah.
My gracious sakes, we certainly are. Are we doing a good job?
Yeah.
Yes. Now let's do a good job with our bodies. Let's create our bodies in the same beautiful, uninhibited way and say that our bodies will remain essentially 35 years old all the days of our life. We will be born 35 years old, we will die 35 years old if we ever die. And we will live not a lifetime of 100 years, not several hundred, but thousands of years. We will indeed live forever. Now, can we do such a thing? Oh, yes. Is such a thing being done by some people already? Yes. Do we know about it? Nope. Why don't we know about it? Because then the scientists will want to go and investigate them. The scientists will want to go and see whether it is really true or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken many of these people who do psychic things and who do other wonderful things, and they put them in the laboratories and found that they really could do these things. So what? What they didn't find is what was the procedure, the process by which they accomplished this wonderful goal. What was the way in which they arrived at this magnificent bit of not chicanery, but this magnificent bit of genius? And that's what they haven't found. That's what they haven't found. And they won't find it because it's in the very essence of us, the very heart of us. What do you believe about yourself? The moment you and I can stop comparing ourselves to the rest of the world and start realizing we are divine, we are God, we are the creator of our own world, we are the creator of everything, and everything is God, and everything has the same possibility that we have or anybody else has, but some have drawn upon certain areas better than others. Some have drawn upon being a musician, being a painter, being an artist, being a parent, and being a psychologist or being whatever, and they're quite good. But they've just drawn upon that genius within. We have the universal genius within us, as everyone does. And so when we train ourselves to draw upon this universal beingness that we are, this immortality that we are, this indestructibility that children believe about themselves. 18-year-old kids never think they're going to get killed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful consciousness to have. Now, are you ready for such an adventure? If you are, then start today. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Start today. What is your future? And it really means what is your today. But what is your future? What is it that you believe about yourself? Are you, just for want of a better way of saying it, are you an eternal 35-year-old person? Are you an eternally perfect person? Every organ, action, function in your body is perfect. Are you an eternally mentally alert, dynamic, magnificent, creative, unlimited mind? Yes. Are you independently wealthy? Yes. Are you all these things? Yes. Can you live eternally immortal? Yes. Do you? Yes. See, all these things are yeses. There's not one of them that is to know. And you will never dwell upon anything that is a no if you want everything to be a yes. So that's why I've been teaching you, say yes to everything. Say yes to everything, but make sure that you create yourself being asked questions to which you would say yes. No person would dare come up to you and say, are you stupid? You know? No person would dare come up to you and say, are you hungry? No person would dare to come up to you and say, are you an old jerk? You know? No person would dare to come up to you and say anything that you could not beneficially to yourself say yes to. Everyone asks you questions that the answer is yes. Live in that consciousness, in that world, and wow. You can say the best way to predict the future is to invent it. And let's start inventing it right now, today, and having ourselves the time of our life. And that's because I love you, 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 I love you.